Welcome to Raw Vegan Radio, the program that will open your mind to natural health and the connection between mind, body, and spirit. And now your host, Steve Prusak.
Hello, this is Steve Prusak, and welcome to another edition of Raw Vegan Radio. It's great to be with you, and on today's show, we've got two inspiring interviews with leaders in the raw food world. First, Mark Patrick, an actor, model, singer, and film director. You'll recognize him from many soap operas and TV shows. He was even on Dancing with the Stars, and we'll talk about how he's evolved in his raw journey. And following that, we've got an interview with Brian Yance, who saved his life less than a year ago following a raw food diet. Two inspiring individuals here on Raw Vegan Radio, coming up in just a couple minutes. And around the studio here, we've got lots going on. We're about to launch our Raw Vegan Interview with the Gurus, over 100 exclusive interviews with leaders in the raw food world to bring your learning to the next level. It's going to be fantastic. I'll let you know about that when we release. It's going to really help you with your raw food journey and guide you towards what you really need to know and decipher what you don't need to know and follow your own path, because we're all about empowering you on Raw Vegan Radio. It's not about following others. It's about following your own guru. You are your own guru. Also coming up, we've got the virtual raw food starter kit, and I'll let you know when we're launching that. So we're just keeping busy behind the scenes, and we'll keep you notified of all the great things we've got coming up. We've got our Simply Raw Detox coming up and some other things. So stay tuned to learn more about all those things. And we're also revamping our website to keep you notified about all this. And we're real active on our blog at rawveganradio.com, so be sure to go to our blog. It's called Steve's Blog. Subscribe there to stay updated of all my posts. Lots of comments coming in from the community, and I love it. And we've got our fan page at Facebook at rawfoodfans.com. We've got over 10,000 friends there, so come join the conversation. It's been incredible. Even though we got hacked and we had some non-desirable friends aboard, please add your voice to the conversation. Well, we worked diligently to fix that problem. And now our interview with Marcus Patrick, author of the upcoming book, The Raw Naked Truth, actor, philosopher, model, and singer, Marcus Patrick. Okay, we'd like to welcome Marcus Patrick to Raw Vegan Radio. Hi, Marcus.
How you doing?
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get right into this, let's talk a little about your background and how you evolved towards a raw food diet and some of your athletic performance, things like that.
Okay. I've been very fortunate that my father was a karate teacher and somewhat of a philosopher, because he's also a math teacher and he was a social worker. He was basically always looking for ways to improve.
Mm-hmm.
So he always had us a bowl of raw vegetables in the refrigerator, soaking in water, cold water. He liked it that way. So there would be like tomatoes, carrots, celery sticks, broccoli, and maybe a cauliflower just floating in a bowl of water since we were kids.
Mm.
So I was always exposed to raw food being a part of the main sort of table staple filler, and we would have a lot of fruit, apples every day, he always believed in. So, you know, but of course the rest of the food was garbage, you know, sausages and things like that in England, and mashed potatoes, beans, all that stuff that's not so good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we had every meal that he would serve us dinner, that vegetable bowl was in the middle, in the water. And I do believe, having, you know, looked back on my life, that I'm so grateful, because that's probably why I was such a sporting, you know, stud and was able to set the high school records and just beat every kid in racing. And, you know, I was just very blessed to have had sport and nutrition already being a part of my life without even knowing it.
Mm.
So I'm from England. I grew up in England, in Bath, a little Roman town. I've traveled the world, though, but, you know, looking back at my little humble beginnings, it's just interesting to take a look at how the fruit and vegetables were playing a part in my life at that age. And then I became the fastest kid in my school when I was, like, 8 years old. And, you know, for me, obviously, being mixed race in a a country that was predominantly Caucasian, and the Jamaican culture that had come across were invited over to be rail men workers or nurses if they were ladies. So they were kind of in the sort of ghetto districts. And I was a one mixed race kid where my dad is white, my mom is black, on a very white neighborhood. I was very teased and bullied and picked on, and it was kind of a strange time in my life. So, you know, when I finally began to flourish as this athlete, this athletic prowess was like my saving grace, because then all of a sudden, all the kids that would have wanted to bully me were like, oh my God, we not only cannot bully him, but he's also the best athlete. We actually respect him. So, that's what led me down the path of more and more desire for athletics. Like, oh man, this saves my life. You know? So, then I became more, at first I thought karate was absolutely boring, but due to a number of events between my mom and dad kidnapping me across the seas between America and England, mm-hmm. and my mom kidnapped me to America when I was like 9, and then my dad kidnapped me back when I was 11.
Oh, and wow.
So I've been through this weird battle between them, and I get more into that with my book, The Raw Naked Truth, that I'll be releasing soon. But mm-hmm. that whole journey was so strange. And when I was in Miami living, schooling there for a year, I got beaten up even more. At 10 years, you know, the year of 9 to 11, I got beat up, man. Mm. And before that, I'd always thought, Dad, karate is boring, man. It's like, you know, why are you standing around punching the air all the time? It's like, you know, as a kid, you're like, let's have some fun. What the heck is this, you know? Because You know, as a kid, you don't realize you need to fight people. You know, you really don't want to fight anybody. I didn't want to fight anybody as a kid. I wanted to climb trees and run fast and play soccer or football. But after all those beatings, I was like, man, I want karate really bad. So that's when I went so, you know, gung-ho for this martial arts thing. I became British champion at the juniors by the time I was 15, and then British men's senior champion at 16. And it was like, it was because of the abuse. And it was that's all of the things that compelled me into fighting fitness. And I found myself at a certain age feeling like I'd become obviously out of balance with this fighting game, wanting to hurt other men, and realizing that this is really not where it's at. Like, this isn't where solutions are at for mankind. And that's when I started sort of going towards prayer and investigation of spiritual matters. Mm. And then one day I said a prayer, please just guide me. I began to change into a vegan without even like knowing what the heck I was doing. Every time I ate a piece of flesh, I literally could just like see all the muscle tissue in it and the veins in it and the fat. All of the things that I had taken for granted before and just shoved it in my mouth, all of a sudden I was studying the meat as it was on my fork right in front of my eyes. Like, oh my God, like, that is attached to that part of that animal's muscle, and that's that I'm like, why am I eating muscle? Mm. Doesn't make any sense. So then I start putting it in, and you chew it, and then the fluids that squeeze out of the flesh would, like, squish around my mouth, and I would feel sickened by it. Like, what is that? Is that blood or is it pus? You know, what am I getting out of that nutrition there? And then when I'd swallow it, I would get that gag reflex. And I would try to keep it down, thinking that it was supposed to be what I was supposed to do, my dinner. You know, you need this for nutrition. But I would throw it up many times. And then I thought something was wrong with me. I thought, oh, my God, I'm in trouble here. You know, maybe I've got cancer and this is the start of it or something. But it ultimately, you know, led me down a path where I started increasing vegetables on my plate. Like broccoli, I knew was high in protein from my studies in bodybuilding. So my plate was like filled with broccoli because I was still afraid that I needed high protein. And it was filled with beans and rice. So that was like, for a while, my blind attempt at being a well-nutritioned vegan. And then one day I watched after Earthlings. girlfriend at the time I was with, Stephanie, she said, Patrick, I think you might be getting sick from the meat because of this. You need to watch this. So I watched Earthlings, and I was just like, oh my God, this is horrific. You know?
Yeah.
I said, there's no wonder I was being guided. I said to her, you remember that prayer I told you about? I think the prayer guided me to not eat the flesh. You know, because, I mean, I didn't know what I was doing scientifically. It wasn't like I'd studied why or how. It all had been instinctual.
Right.
And then, after I watched Earthlings, I literally ordered 20 copies. I met Sean Monsoon, the director of it. I ordered 20 copies of it and ran around to all of my friends' houses. I said, you got to watch this, like giving it to all of them. And for a while, people thought I was absolutely nuts, I'm sure, you know. Like, I turned my agent vegan in Hollywood, and I was running around every friend or actor who was, like, slightly curious. And some people went for it and changed, but some people just started to slander me, like, Marcus Patrick has gone crazy in Hollywood.
Well, yeah, we didn't even mention your acting career. I mean, we talked a little about the athletics, and you've had quite a career in Hollywood in music, yeah, and in acting and even on Dancing with the Stars, and, I mean, there's so much we can talk about, but do you want to generally just talk about your career as a performer?
Okay. I guess I started off with performing, singing and dancing, and I got into a boy band named Worlds Apart. Simon Cowell was doing the same American Idol thing in England many years ago. I mean, I was 17, so that's that. We're coming up 20 years ago now, 19, 20 years ago. And, you know, I went to a London audition, got in the band, and started traveling around. It was just, you know, obviously as exciting as it can be for a young teenage boy to start getting fame, but mm-hmm. I started to see the darker sides of that industry too, which is the PR department comes in and says, oh, no, you must say that you're this age, and you must say that you're this ethnicity, and you must say, you know, I'm like, well, this is all lies, you know? Why don't we just tell the truth? Well, you can say this, and this boy say this, and I'm like, man, this feels so manufactured and phony. What is going on? So I start to learn how a lot of big corporations lie right off the bat mm-hmm. to make sales happen. And over time, you know, I wasn't cut out for being in that band situation. It wasn't for me because I just couldn't deal with the drugs, the drinking, the lies. I don't know what it was. I think my martial arts upbringing was almost like you take a Shaolin monk that can sing. I was an okay singer at the time. I wasn't as good as I am now, but I could hold my tune and I could do all of my dance moves and backflips perfectly. I wasn't the lead singer, but I did my part to the band with integrity, like I was some Shaolin monk. And then you put me in this band with a lot of different, you know, rock and roll, we don't give a crap kind of integrity. And not to mention where the company lies, it really taught me about how phony a lot of corporations are. And entertainment in general does that. When I was in Hollywood, it's the same thing. You've got to lie about this, go along with this. And that's why, you know, if you look at all of the commercials and people were booking a lot of, like, I booked a lot of big fast food company commercials and made big money from it. Like, the biggest fast food company that we know, and I'm not going to say their name, paid me over $30,000 to do a commercial for them. And I obviously did it. And then I started feeling like, man, I'm a sellout, you know? Like, I don't eat the food. I'm running along to just book so I can pay my mortgage. My mortgage depends on it. And, but yet I'm trying to help people watch Earthlings on one day and booking a national, you know, fast food mass commercial on another. It just felt such hypocrisy. And, that's why I found myself just telling my agent, I can't go to that anymore. I can't do it. Like, at first I would do the commercials, but say, look, I can't eat the burger. And and then they would be like, well, he doesn't have to eat the burger in this one. He can just, he just has to, you know, smile like he's going, you know. And it's like, ultimately, as your intelligence and integrity wakes up, you realize that everything you do is sacred. Mm-hmm. So I can't endorse something that's clearly going to continue the destruction of Mother Earth. And that's why I just had to bow out of Hollywood, really. And that's why now I live kind of like a man on the brink of poverty in Hawaii, but I live with much more peace in my heart this way than I did when I was in Hollywood. Because Hollywood, you're always being sold out to pay your rent check, to pay your car note. You're always being sold down the river to pay your mortgage, you know?
Right. Well, what a life. So here you are in Hawaii, and spreading the message of spirituality on the internet. We've seen some of your videos and the raw food way of life. So maybe you can talk about how you got into that.
The spirituality and the YouTube videos just came about because, obviously, as I started leaving Hollywood, it was a transitional phase, and I've always been a dancer as well, like an exotic dancer. I did that to keep my bills at bay. And that has somewhat made me a taboo person to study or link up with in a way, because people are like, well, we don't know about him. He's a little racy, you know. He's been in the Chippendale dance troupes, and I've even danced in the gay bars because I have no sexual discrimination. I myself am not gay, but I love gay people as friends and as somewhat family members in my life. And so I was obviously doing that. And I genuinely believe that the human race is most healthy when they're naked in the sun, just like a horse or a dog or a, you know, any other wild animal, like the Garden of Eden depicts, because our vitamin D is needed through the sunshine, and the sunshine is also antibacterial. So I'm a person who tries to get as naked as I can as often as possible, you know, especially in the sun. And it does make me the more taboo guy, even if I'm a philosopher, even if I'm a modern-day spiritual, you know, studying sage, my way of being would be much more in the era of the Greeks, where nudity would have been totally accepted for Socrates to disrobe under the sun in the middle of the village and just start talking about philosophy. And no one would give him any problems, because the Greek culture was that, you know, nude art, nudity, nude Olympics, nude everything. Whereas in this culture, because we are such an unhealthy species at this time, eating all toxic flesh, to be nude is so taboo, almost as if, you know, some people go as far as calling me Satan for being nude. And I'm like, are you crazy?
Wow.
I'm trying to teach you how important it is to eat healthy and to get sunshine on your skin and be free of a lot of the manufacturing and materials that are perversing not only Mother Earth, but us as a race, as a species. So when I go on the YouTubes and you know, lay around in my underpants, I mean, that's my way of being. Like, right now I'm doing this interview, I'm laying in naked in bed, you know. I mean, I'm real. Queen Angelic is next to me sleeping. She ain't even awake, really. She's naked, too. It's like, that's what we do in the realness of our lives, and yet the minute we have to communicate with other people, we have to pretend and put on these social airs and graces that, oh, well, I wear, you know, a shirt size 34 with a tie. And, you know, in some of the analyzing of what a suit really is to me, when I'm just being a philosopher, is that when I put suits on, those shoulder pads feel like they're almost there to restrain you into like a straitjacket feeling. I mean, like, you can't even lift your arms up properly to the sides without those shoulder pads, like, restricting you and putting you down. And not to mention the fact that it really is a false image being put on. Like, women who wear high heels are being ungrounded because they're up in the air in an odd position, damaging their ankles. So women who have these obsession with these shoes, this materialism, and not being anywhere near Mother Earth, so then they become less than grounded, and then they want a male who's going to run out and shower them with materials, and then he's going to wear a suit. Meanwhile, he really doesn't have broad shoulders and a slim waist as the suit jacket would have him look like. He actually actually has a fat gut and sloping shoulders because of, you know, the bad, unhealthy lifestyle that he might practice. But it's kind of like society likes to put out this sort of fake message within all of its materials, just as, you know, the more makeup one wears, the more one doesn't need to eat as healthy because the makeup takes care of it. Whereas as a woman becomes closer and closer to raw, natural, healthy living, she finds herself needing less and less makeup and being more grounded and real. And a man will feel like, give me those cotton pants and that nice, you know, hemp t-shirt. I like that. That feels good. And it becomes less about materialism and less about showing airs and graces and being fake and phony and more about organic, real truth. And it doesn't have to be all like a hippie. You can still be very clean and presentable, but ultimately you start finding yourself realizing that maybe that Greek era where people did the Olympics naked and ate fresh fruit and grapes and there was something to that great culture that maybe we should have taken a slice out of into today's.
Well, yeah, very interesting thoughts. You can even think of the tie that goes with the suit as a noose.
Yes, I agree with you. I looked at it like, this suit's a straight jacket. That tie, if someone wanted to come along and just yank it and say, get to work while you're at your office table, then
yeah.
It's like, you know, it felt always awkward whenever I put one on. And I put one on for a picture or a modeling photo shoot, but I would immediately, like, you've done, I get it off me as fast as you'd see, like, if you see a dog, if you put some sort of t-shirt around a dog and it wants to get it out, it rolls on the floor, doesn't it? Wriggling for freedom.
Right.
Because they really don't like being, you know, confined by those materials. Almost like they look like they're being put in some sort of restraint, and they really despise it. That's kind of how I feel if I'm in a suit.
Yep, seems like it's all part of the agenda.
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about your raw food diet and how, you know, because you're in incredible shape. Yeah, you know, we can talk a little about your routine and how your body has transformed through this, because I'm sure you were in great shape even before getting into this lifestyle. But maybe you can talk about what the role that's played and you know, what's working for you as far as your raw food diet.
Okay, yeah. I am a person who was obviously always in very, very lean, muscular shape when I was eating filthy food. So I'm not that guy who suddenly had this massive transformation in body fat and muscle tissue from raw food. What I will say is when I was big and strong, eating all that toxic flesh 5 times a day, following the traditional, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger routine of muscle and fitness type, you know, eat 5 meals a day or 8 meals a day, my bowels felt like they were about to just drop out of my body. They were like just getting hammered by all of that. And I never took any anabolic steroids or anything, but at my largest muscle weight, I was like 235 pounds, 6% body fat, because I was just training cardio all the time and lifting weights and running sprints and just doing the whole nine martial arts. But after I began transitioning, I thought I would lose muscle mass, and I didn't. Like, none of it went away. And so I was just like, okay, well, this is good. I mean, it's just maintained by the beans or the broccoli. As I went further down the path, I actually wanted to lose muscle tissue and found that I couldn't. I'm like, wow, now I want to lose muscle tissue because I wanted to change sports. Like, my evolution from being a meat eater was that my sport focus was fighting, boxing, martial arts. And I probably, if I'd stayed a meat eater, would probably be in the UFC or one of these cage mixed martial arts. But as I transitioned into this diet, I noticed I was like, no, I want to do a peaceful sport. I want to do a sport that I can do forever and that doesn't harm other males. Because, you know, I have a very soft heart, and my big demeanor is, obviously, if someone were to attack me, I would stop them. But I don't want to hurt any other fellow friends, you know, like my fellow male companions on earth, to me, I look at like brothers immediately, unless they prove otherwise. Like I'll see a guy and be like, oh, he could be a brother, you know, let me see if he's cool, unless he shows me otherwise. If he shows me otherwise, then I'll avoid him. But I don't even want to fight, because when you've spent every week fighting since you were, you know, 11, 12, which is when I got into it, till you're 19, 20, you look at fighting differently to most people. You know that even when you win a fight, you lose. You get all these bruises and chipped teeth and black eyes. And so when I was winning, I was still losing. I was still damaged, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you don't really want... Also, when I did win, and I really broke a few men in half, like their arms, I broke them, and I broke their teeth and broke some ribs and put people in hospital, you start reflecting on how bad you've been. You know, like, okay, it's a sport, but, you know, I'm putting men in hospital. It just doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. So that's why my sensitivity, as I went raw vegan, I was interested in sprints. That's why I love sprinting as training. And that's because I love to run fast. I ran a 10.37. I can run really fast. And it's harmless. It's harmless to other people. It's just a prowess. It's speed. It's natural. It's like we were born to be able to run like horses. And I feel really great doing that. So that transition came about spiritually. I genuinely believe the raw vegan person becomes more spiritually and sensorially, that's the right way of pronouncing that, sensorially, perceptive of other things, because our nerves and our nervous system are made of like tubes that conduct light through them. And when you are blocked up with cholesterol and mucus from, you know, rice, pasta, or flesh and dairy, your nerves are blocked up too. Therefore, the sensory system is dimmed. It's dull because you don't have a full sensory system in operation. And that's why people do things that are insensitive when they are eating that way, because they really don't have a gauge of feeling. It's almost like they're numb. Just like drugs numb people out, and so they do less sensitive things, or alcohol numbs someone out, and then they're stumbling around, and they can bash around into things, but they don't feel it because they're so numb from the alcohol that they get all the bruises the next morning, and then someone says, "Man, you were crazy last night." And they're like, "Really? I didn't even know." And they go, "Wow, I'm bruised today," and it's because they weren't sensitive. So as you become sensitive, you want greater and greater levels of intelligence in your life. That's what transitioned me into sprinting. I know that I can become the greatest sprinter ever now, and I'm going to do it for the raw vegan community. And not just for the raw vegan community, for everybody who wants to see what is the possibility of human beings by eating optimal food. And then I can do lots of, you know, fundraisers, projects for people who are doing, you know, raw vegan companies, and really be a sort of helpful poster child for that instead of what I was, which was a poster child for fast food or Hollywood films which depict violence or, you know, raping. I had to do raping one time. I had to do, you know, gangster behavior another time. So I'm happy to be lending myself to more healthy projects. And once I pull this miracle off, which I have to buckle down and just keep doing the work, then I'll be able to really be good for the world rather than a fighter or someone who's just, you know, advertising junk. You touched on my diet. It transitioned from obviously rice, beans, gravy made out of vegetable stock, broccoli, and I would switch that up to string beans or pasta one night, or, you know, that's when I was vegan. Mm-hmm. And I was even eating junky vegan food like vegan burgers and French fries, which were a big treat to me because I still wanted to eat all of that stuff. But I just kept it all vegan chicken McNuggets. I was in LA, very fortunate to have so many good vegan restaurants that you could get vegan Chinese, China Bistro, you could get vegan burgers and chips, a California vegan chicken nuggets. You know, there was amazing things in LA for for a vegan transitioning person. Vegan pizza at Follow Your Heart. So I was doing all that for a long time, for maybe sort of 8-9 years. When I transitioned to raw approximately 3 years ago, that was after seeing a David Wolf seminar as to how all of the body works and all the nerves get blocked up by parasites and cholesterol and everything. So when I went full on raw, I still was doing raw with, you know, all the cacao smoothies and cashew nuts and things that nowadays I wouldn't technically think are the highest raw foods for you. Mm-hmm. I was just new to it and eating a lot of raw gourmet food. For the first 2 years, it was very raw gourmet. It was within this last year and leaving and coming to Hawaii that I got closer to the farms and closer to the farmer market and started realizing how different it was to just enjoy stuffing oneself with, you know, amazing fresh greens or amazing fresh papayas and mono diets. And it's been an evolution. It's still evolving now. And now I can exist on just like a bag of 5 oranges, maybe a banana, green salad, you know, per day. And people would think, no way. There's no way Marcus can eat that way with that amount of muscle tissue. And I'm like, you know what, guys? I would have not believed it myself either. If you'd have asked me, you know, when I was not vegan, could you live on a bag of oranges and some banana and a big salad, could that be what sustains a body this size? I'd be like, no way. It doesn't seem scientifically possible, but that's why I'm even curious about what that breatharian thing is about. Even though I can't do it myself, and I'm not going to claim to or pretend to, I'm so curious about it because there are days where I eat so little food that I'm like, I wonder if I really needed the food at all, you know? I mean, it's a curiosity of mine. Mm-hmm. Because obviously when I was a flesh eater, I had a certain mentality that I could never be really a vegan. When someone asked me, you should go vegan, before I had said my prayer, I'd be like, dude, no way, you need your meat. That was my belief. So as my upgrading of belief took place, where, you know, once you're vegan, you're like, yeah, but you can't go raw. I don't think I could go raw and go without hot food. How am I going to go without hot food? And then when you go raw and you're all about gourmet raw, you still, in the gourmet raw section, look at the average person who's just eating mono meals of fruit and salad. You'd be like, that's boring. How could you live like that? Whereas now that I'm living like that, I'm like, wow, I've really gone up this transitional ladder. It's changed me so much. I mean, I did 40 days on liquid, and I never felt better in my life, more energy than ever. So raw food, liquid. What I would say is, man, the possibility of where this evolution is heading is limitless. And it's more a consciousness. Like the food is really a mirror to your consciousness. Like your capability, like discipline ties into it. Your ability to not be succumbing to peer pressure, your level of emotion is totally food-related. Like, if I get into a deep subject matter with someone and it becomes stressful, I'll notice I'll need more food. I'll be like, oh, man, I want a banana, and then I want a smoothie too. But if I have a very pleasant day and I'm really excited and focused on other things, I'll notice, man, I didn't eat all day because I was so excited that my emotions were so high and happy that I forgot to eat. So it seems like the consciousness goes along with the food.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you're not doing any supplements or anything like that, just straight raw foods?
No, not anymore. I haven't any supplements for about at least a month or two now. Yeah. I can't say that, you know, a month or two would make someone go, well, you could run into danger later. You know, I understand that someone could say that. But the funny thing is I read Doug Graham's book, Nutrition and Athletic Performance. That's what it is, yeah. I haven't read his 80-10-10 yet, but I ordered it and I'm waiting on it. And, you know, there's that huge argument going on between Durian Ryder and David Wolf. And I mean, Doug isn't really getting in the argument, but he's a part of the debate on what is more optimal. But that book, Nutrition and Athletics Performance, is so good because in the back there's all the charts of all of the elements of what each food contains. So me being a trainer as well as someone who studied science of sport, because I did, during this whole time, I did go to college and get my physical education diploma and my advanced ACE certification. So it's like I've done the work, and I do help people, you know, when they come and train with me, how to lose weight rapidly and get strong. Doug's book is so good that it literally gives me every single food right there and know what I need. So if I needed, if I feel like, I think I need iron, you know, boom, that's that food. If I think I need vitamin C, oh, I was unaware that broccoli actually is beating out oranges on vitamin C, you know. We don't study as much as we would love ourselves to in general in society. I spend a lot more time studying. When you see what your body needs, you can basically get rid of what could potentially be a deficiency just by saying, today, I think we need more iron, you know, switch out and go for spinach today and we'll have less fruit. And on one day, more fruit. But I will tell you this, box of oranges, I have a big box of oranges that I get from Costco, because that's one of the island's way of getting things. Costco actually sells organic produce, which I don't want to be promoting them, but when you've got no other way of getting hold of cheaper food, and the masses are out there trying to make this thing work, you've got to make it work by any means possible. And they sell a lot of organic produce at a pretty reasonable price. Box of 24 oranges for $10, and I go through oranges now like the clappers, because Storm Taliaferro, who is one of my mentors, he's 62, raw vegan for 40 years, looking amazing, man. He's got a book coming out, too, I just ordered. TheGardenDiet.com will probably get you to him. But he eats oranges every day, and he's got a family of, like, 10 up there in the mountains of near Ojai, Mountain View Club. They live on oranges. Like, he goes and buys boxes of oranges from the farmer, from the orchard. Mm-hmm. And when we go and visit him, he'd have, like, 5 to 6 boxes of massive oranges around. First thing you do when you go to his house, you want an orange, man? It's like he's got more oranges than anybody. And this guy was able to run through the forest mountains at 7,000 feet altitude, okay? And I was following him, and we ran a quarter mile. When we finished, I'm breathing heavy. He's fine. I mean, can you imagine? I'm a champion athlete. This guy's able to do that. He's 60. I was 34, 35 at the time. He's 60, and he's able to run better than me when he's up there. That doesn't make any logical sense, see? That's why I'm like, okay, hold on a second. Not only is this guy 60, but he just ran, and I kept up with him. But at the end of it, because altitude is a particular type of training, they say people who live at altitude actually develop more capillaries in their bodies. So he is not breathing heavy after the 400 meter, the quarter mile. And I am. I'm like, okay, whatever this guy is doing, pay attention to, you know, because he is closest thing to immortality, or at least centurion living that I have seen, you know, other than Lou Corona is pretty good too. But Storm takes no supplements. Lou likes taking enzymes, and he is in a sort of an enzyme company where he markets enzymes, which, you know, is fair enough. That's good enough. I don't knock it, but I prefer the fact that nature gives you all you need, how Storm does it, because then you don't need to buy those things. You just do the whole thing, you know, natural. And Storm just lives off of herbs and fruit. So, yeah, it's an amazing ride of consciousness, exploration. I'm obviously not complete crazy about going all high fruit and have no salad, but Dr. Doug's book doesn't talk about just going all fruit out and no salad. He talks about eat as many greens as possible. So, you know, fruit, if you need calories. If you're like Durian Ryder, he needs the calories because he is blasting away on those bikes, you know, for marathons. So I think his perception is that everyone might need the calories the same as him. But ultimately, if I eat as much as he, I feel stuffed and I start getting feeling a little fat. Sharif Kamal, who's that other bodybuilder who's raw vegan, He's got a website for Nature's Fitness Model. He just did an article with me. He is much more into high greens, and if you notice, his physique is more bulky, so I would say muscle. He's got the ripped muscles. He's going to be probably even more than me, because I'm a sprinter. I don't weight train as much anymore, needing the proteinous elements and the lower carbohydrate elements of the greens, because two different sports, an anaerobic sport, which is lifting heavy weights, versus an endurance athlete. So I wish that I'm sending a peace message out to those guys to not fight, because ultimately they're both right in their own way. You know, Sharif is right probably about if you're doing more hard, heavy lifting, you're going to need greens with higher protein and lower calories so that you stay ripped. And if you're doing what Durian Rider is doing, riding bikes for miles and marathons, then you're going to need high fruit, just like the fruitarian, Mike Ornstein. You need high fruit. But ultimately, the average person is not doing that level of sport. They're usually not doing Sharif, and they're usually not doing Durian Rider, Harley sport. So they need to find their own balance and just kind of keep it fun and games rather than getting so, you know, dogmatic. You know, if you're eating fresh fruit, fresh salads, vegetables, Angelic is the master of making vegetable dishes warm by using methods and food thermometers to put them at 105 degrees. So you can eat food that is consciously cooked. Conscious cooking is the word I like to use, like a lasagna with zucchini that is raised to 105 degrees. You put it in your mouth, perfect temperature for the mouth, but all the enzymes are intact. Mm-hmm. She'll take broccoli, throw that into a bowl of hot water that's no hotter than a bathtub, warm the broccoli up for 10 minutes, take it out, season it up, and eat it. It tastes like you're eating soft-cooked broccoli, but the difference is it's living. You know, so when you start trying to give these solutions out to humankind so that they, as a species, can get better, my goal with this is not to fight amongst ourselves, because I see too much fighting going on. I saw you've made some comments like, why are we fighting so much as a community? You know, ultimately, they're all more right than anybody. Like, Sharif Kamal, amazing fitness model, giving people inspiration that you can get a great ripped physique on raw vegan food. Mm-hmm. Durian Rider, he could chill out on attacking some people, but ultimately, he's a champion athlete from marathon racing and endurance athlete. Doug, amazing for 57 to have such an amazing body, and the reason why I would endorse his books is because from my perspective as a trainer, it's a lot easier to help people transition to go towards raw food if they get to eat a lot of tasty, yummy fruit, whereas most people can't afford the high, expensive raw gourmet, and they can't necessarily afford some of the supplements sold by some of the companies that focus on packed, shipped, bagged items. Everyone can go and afford to find a market and buy fruit orders in bulk and come home and make salads and share that stuff out and take fruit to work in their backpack and come mid-morning, have a mid-morning fruit snack and then another one at lunch, afternoon, home, have a big vegetable raw dinner prepared or salad. Everyone can do that easily, and humanity can be saved that way. That's why I would say Doug's books give the easiest way. Now, I'm not saying that you have to stick by fruit. If you're not a big fruiter, you can do a green smoothie in the morning. You can do a salad at lunch, and then you can have a big sort of raw gourmet meal prepared at night and maybe put a fruit snack in there once. But either way, no one's really going to be coming down on you if you're living off of raw food, and you're going to be optimal in health anyway. I wish the team would gather together with love and fight who we really need to fight, which is, you know, the McDeath, the burger killers, and the tacos and whatnot. So that energy is the focus. If you want to say, let's talk about where you want to put your energy against what who's doing wrong. Put it against them, you know.
That is what I was going to bring up. Some of the other debates going on about David Wolf, Daniel Vitalis, and some of the products they're recommending, and, you know, you've seen the discussions.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel Vitalis, for me, he's a nice guy. I met him. He was polite to me. I was asking him all about his mushrooms. But I am, you know, I do find Dorian Ryder very truthful, so I do back him up. I mean, Sharif might disagree because they got into it. I do back up Dorian Ryder for the fact that he actually calls things out as he sees it. You know, whether he's right, wrong, or a little militant, as some people might say, he's at least calling out the truth as he sees it. So I respect people who are not hiding behind any, you know, games or agenda. I don't see people think he's got an agenda. I just think he cares about animals. He doesn't have a lot of money, and he doesn't care about that. He's got his bikes. He's very honest. He says, I live like a gypsy. I travel around, get my fruit. And he does a few personal training sessions, I think, to keep himself alive with his girlfriend Freely. But they're very honest and humble people. And what I have found is that in order to be very, very honest, it almost does affect you financially, because when I was less honest and I was endorsing fast food, I had hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in a year. When I was saying, okay, I'm going to be honest now, I've had to go through the most poor phase of my life ever because I left behind dancing on stages because I didn't want to be around alcoholic environments. I left behind endorsing fast food companies because I didn't want to sell a fellow man out by using this vegan face to endorse toxic food. I left behind Hollywood acting because the material was toxic. So I'm obviously now in a place where I'm more truthful, but I'm as low in finance as I've ever been in my life. I think that's the reason why Dorian Ryder is less, you know, financially backed up. If you take other companies that are pushing products and are pushing it to the masses, like the masses are the meat eaters, then you make more money. So that's why the Dorian Ryder attacks David Wolf and Daniel Vitalis, because they're making money and they're selling on their website, you know, deer placenta, colostrum, ants, and I don't know what else I saw, but, you know, a sip of goat's milk I heard being mentioned. But the point being, most people who are eating flesh enjoy being propitiated to, like, oh, yeah, they're saying it's okay for us to have that. So, you know, yeah, we'll follow them. We'll buy from their company. And that kind of irritates the vegan community, I think, that backed up David Wolf for all these years, because you're buying his books feeling like raw vegan is where it's all going, and now he's changed a little, and he doesn't necessarily back up raw vegan. He's kind of on the edge, you know. And as much as he might, you know, I love David, and if he ever listens to this, I love you, brother. You've been nothing but kind and sweet to me and helpful to me in my life, but I find that it's kind of like you can't sit on the fence when it comes to this battle in this way, because killing animals, slaughtering animals, being a part of a company that still endorses that, even if your friend is the person who's doing it for you, maybe you're still profiting from it. You know, maybe you're still profiting from the killing of the deer or the raping of its placenta or whatever you're doing. And I feel like, you know, he's put himself in a little bit of a touchy situation here, because all the vegan fans write to me saying, you're on YouTube endorsing David Wolf because you love him. And what do you think about him selling deer placenta? And I'm like, well, I don't think that's good at all. I've asked him, why are you with Daniel Vitalis selling that stuff? You know, no disrespect to Daniel Vitalis, but he's not in great shape himself, and he's promoting a lot of products that appear to be like cholesterol laden. And I see him on YouTube, you know, chopping up raw bison, putting raw egg on it, and then, you know, showing people how yummy it is. Yeah. That to me is very demonic. I look at it like, okay, so you're promoting cholesterol-filled flesh. The body has no purpose for cholesterol. And I've seen him say, we need cholesterol. And that's a scientific, you know, invalid statement, because cholesterol does nothing but cause disease in the body. Then the bacteria that exist in the flesh and the raw dairy and all that that they eat can sometimes get people sick, especially if they're not used to it. But over time, what happens is a being can evolve to being able to tolerate this diet, but eventually from tolerating it, they become carnivorous in tendency, in spirit, because obviously lions kill to eat, whereas a horse does not kill to eat. It's a very passive animal. Human beings that eat flesh start developing more of a killer instinct in their personality just because of evolution. That's common sense. Evolution means when I used to fight and eat meat, the more meat I ate, the more aggressive I was. So it was making me, I was ruthless at times. I remember my consciousness. I would throw a kick with an intent of crushing the guy's head, you know, and if my foot connected with the side of his head, I wanted to break it. And now I look back at it like, oh man, was that really me? Or was that spirits within me? What is that, my consciousness, or was that my insensitivity? And it is all related to diet. So David being partnered with that person, I feel, has affected him to listen to them when they say colostrum, deer placenta, ants from Truth Calkins, raw milk. And I don't know whether he says to me he's vegan himself, bar he eats honey. And I do believe that he's honest to me. I mean, I don't think he lies to me. But the problem is, what I have found is peer pressure is just as influential as if I take my box of oranges, it's sitting right in front of me. If I take a rotten orange and I put it in there with my oranges, it's going to make my other oranges first around it rotten within a day or two. They can have that fuzz on them, that gray, moldy matter. And then eventually, before the end of the week, all those oranges will be rotten, and I won't be able to eat any of them. It's similar with humans. At the same time, if they were all rotten by the end of the week, and I take one fresh orange that I've put in my refrigerator, and I put it in there, hoping that that one fresh orange will change those rotten oranges, it won't. You know, it will just end up getting rotten too. So I feel like we as human beings got to be very careful when we're dealing with this journey we surround ourselves with, because so many people will try to influence you back off the path, back to flesh, back to dairy, and they do it through seductive means. It's seductive to say, oh, you're going to get so much health benefits from eating this way. The flesh helps you and the dairy helps you, and they present it to you so seductively that you're like, wow, man, maybe I need more strength and energy, so maybe I should eat the flesh or the raw dairy or the colostrum or a deer placenta or an ant tincture. And because people are always craving energy because they have to work so hard in a system which is not natural. People should sleep more. People should relax more. People should be in more nature, and then they wouldn't feel so stressed out and have these desires for energy from, you know, hormonal boosts from different tinctures they're taking. Now, when people are seducing people with these tinctures, that's what is like a rotten orange, making a healthy raw vegan community think twice. Like, maybe I do need, because I was tired yesterday, so maybe I do need to go and eat an ant. Maybe I do need to eat some colostrum.
It just sounds so, it almost sounds like a joke. Maybe I do need to eat an ant. You got it. I don't know how they sell it, you know? I don't know how they sell the ant.
I went to the bar one time and he said ants. You know, they say ants are the strongest insects on the planet, pound for pound, for anything, and that's why you need to eat them. And I was like, but you know, like, my instincts tell me, you know, I don't want to eat an ant or any ants at all. You know, and so I look at it like, look, man, I want to put out the truth that you can be super, super strong eating just pure raw vegan food, and you can be as healthy as an orange. And if you don't believe my body, look at these people who are 60 and 70 and are glowing and have been raw vegan for years, you know? Storm, Lou, there's a couple of ladies I posted on my wall that just blew me away, and they're in their 70s. It's like the jury is out, really. The dried supplement era where people are making lots of money from dried supplements that are powdered, I think it's going out. People are going to wake up and realize that when you dry something to the point it becomes a powder, how living is it really? Because if I were to dry out Queen Angelic right now and she became a powder, you know, could I call her alive, you know? And one of the things that they say determines a real live food is water-rich content, because it's the water in the food that also helps the cell get the delivery. The water and the oil of that food is so important when it digests to have the living enzymes in it, and also the water and the oil is what makes it transport through your bloodstream to the cell to give the cell what the cell needs, you know. And the cell actually needs an electron from the food. So the cell is looking for electricity upload. And how can it come from a powdered form? I don't think it really can. So it's not fully technically raw to be eating powdered smoothies. And I did it for a long time, you know. And although, look, in one respect, this is how I look at it. The companies like David Wolf are very valuable for people who are living in still the matrix where they are eating all kinds of, you know, fast food, junk, sitting behind office desks. You know, it can help those people if they need a cacao smoothie, because they are still drinking coffee. They are still eating, you know, pizza. And so those people probably need that fun, adrenal stimulant type focus, you know, maca, cacao, you know, goji berries made up into a delicious smoothie can be very much like fun for them. It was fun for me. It was an evolutionary phase of fun for me to go down it. I wanted to make it all. And I had a lot of good times with it. So I don't want to knock it completely, because the average person might find it too difficult to go straight to the oranges for breakfast, banana for a snack, salad for night. That might be like, are you out of your mind to the average person? They're like, I can't do that. But they can certainly do, you know, some raw gourmet food, cacao smoothie here, green smoothie here. So I say let everyone climb the ladder the way they want to climb it. And it is a ladder, and I'm still climbing the ladder. I just happen to be very honest, very vocal, very, very loving about it. People would say, you attack people, Marcus, because you call people vampires and flesh eaters. Like, no, I'm not really attacking them. I'm just being truthful. I was once a vampire, so, well, am I attacking myself? When you choose to, you know, see a nice little animal, and instead, we don't necessarily go and bite it ourselves and suck the iron and nutrients out of its blood raw, but if we were truly carnivores, we should be doing that. But we take that animal's life force, we rob it, we null it, we kill it, we're insensitive. If someone else does it for us, we're just as insensitive. We put it on our plates, we consume its flesh, and when people are chewing flesh, they go, juicy. That juiciness is blood and plasma. Blood and plasma are blood, which is what vampires eat. So you're eating the life force of another animal. Another spirit, another being, not to mention the ghosts. People say, oh, do you believe in ghosts? I'm like, absolutely. Ghosts, spirits, whatever you want to call it, are in that animal's body. All the biological consequences, the bacteria, the viral loads, the drugs, the karma of the animal are all in that animal, the diseases of that animal. So vampiring off that thing's energy, you know, is just truth. It's not like I'm attacking anybody. I'm just saying, look, human species, let's wake up. We've all been vampires for so many years that we need to change from being vampires. If there's hope, just like that vampire with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, the one vampire that didn't want to be one was was Brad Pitt, Interview with a Vampire. Right. He wanted to be a good vampire. And Aid is another story about a vampire that wanted to not live off of eating humans, and he was a killer of vampires. Well, we can wake up and say, you know what? Well, if there are all of these athletes thriving, looking healthier than us, stronger, more muscular, Sharif Kamau, Marcus Patrick, Durian Riders, the long-distance athlete, you've got Lou Corona, Storm Taliaferro, you've got Chef Angelic running fast, you got people glowing. And if this is the reality that we've got as examples, then we don't need to be vampires. We can change and eat our protein from nuts, seeds, broccoli, green spinach, kale, and our energy sources can be pure from banana, oranges, even go for the raw gourmet for a while, you know? Look, I'll be honest and be real about the fact that I do agree. The team of Daniel Vitalis and David Wolf don't necessarily look like they're in the most athletic shape. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I don't think that their spirits are dark and nasty. Well, Daniel Vitalis may be a little bit, you know, on the dark side, promoting, you know, eating raw flesh. I don't know where his spirit is at. I have to be honest with that. But, you know, David Wolf, I don't think that the guy's a nasty guy at all. He's always been sweet, polite, helpful. I think he may be in a position where by hanging around with a team who are marketing and they're marketing meat and he wants to get the message out to the masses, he's probably chosen to be with people who are gung-ho for getting a message out to the masses, and that has probably kind of put him into an awkward position where he's got a team of meat eaters helping him run the company, and he can't dictate to them. I asked him, why are you with these guys? He said, you know what? I can't dictate to people, Marcus, what they eat. I myself am a vegan, except for honey, but I don't want to dictate to what they eat. You know, Daniel Vitalis sells the animal products in the company, and I've never wanted to dictate to people what they eat. I've just wanted to live my lifestyle and help people the best I can without being a dictator, and hopefully they would see the benefits from my life. So I feel David is in a position that he's being kind of attacked in a way for trying to be more, he's trying to play the nice guy in the middle of a team, trying to be diplomatic, and he hasn't picked that side strong enough, so the vegans are going, you know what, David, you're not vegan. You're not for us. And he's going to get kind of attacked for it. But maybe his profit margin comes from the flesh eaters in his company. And that's why he's kind of right there in that place where his company is, you know, the longevity company requires the flesh eaters to sell to the masses, 90%. And he profits from being a part of that company.
I guess it would be nice if the message, if it was included that this is transitional supplements. These aren't, you know, this isn't something you're always going to need, or, you know, it would just be nice if it showed that there's a goal that doesn't incorporate these kind of products. And so maybe, you know, maybe David will refine the message if his company would allow it.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. We don't know how much of a stakeholder he is in the company. We don't know whether he's the grand owner of it or whether he's just a partner of five or six, you know. Ultimately, I have gratitude in my heart for him helping me go raw vegan. So yeah. I have gratitude. I'm in a difficult position because I can't endorse. I personally, when I was given, I was a part of a company, MarcusPatrickHotBody.com. It was me and just one other partner, really. But that other partner wanted to begin marketing protein powders that could have contained anything from whey to soy as a base. And we got into a dispute about it, and he couldn't see the logic that I was saying, no, bro, I just want to endorse, you know, nature things. Like, let's put videos out where I can just teach people how to make their protein powders from nuts and seeds rather than putting out a product that is just generic and you put a label across it with my photo. And it became, you know, a pretty ugly dispute because he wanted to make money, and I was like, dude, it doesn't matter about the money. I can't sell humanity out this way. And he said, Well, who cares about humanity? These people are drinking and smoking, and they don't care. They're out there eating fast food, drinking and smoking, and you're caring about whether they have integral protein or not? And I said, yes, I am caring, because this is my name. This is what I stand for. I can't do it. He said, you're never going to make any money. And I said, fine. If I'm going to end up homeless, I don't even care. I'd rather be homeless with my integrity than make money from selling stuff that I don't feel is doing mankind any good, because at least I could look myself in the mirror. You know? I mean, I just don't see how to do, I can do that. I couldn't do that anymore. I feel like certain companies and products are obviously afraid that they will end up with no money, no business, and therefore they push products that they know good and well are not doing people any good. I mean, let's face it. The truth, the absolute truth that it needs to exist on planet Earth is that we are all outside planting trees and kale and spinach and whatever else every day, and everyone eats fresh, straight from the land. And then we flipped business on its head. It's like, well, we've all got food outside, and we've all stopped trying to stab each other in the back over rent and mortgage. So what are we going to do for business? Huh, why don't we have like a little village meeting? Why don't we see what we can do as a village, like just for fun? Is anyone on board for this? I have an idea at this village meeting. I'd like to build a spacecraft. Do we have anyone here who really knows how to help create this and what we need to do it? And you saw that film, The Astronaut Farmer, with Billy Bob Thornton. He built a spacecraft in his farm, and he actually got it to launch and orbit the Earth 3 or 4 times before he came back down. You know, he was rejected for the astronaut project, and he always wanted to get into space, and he did it. It's a true story. So if one man and a few little helpers that helped him out, his son and his best buddy, can create a rocket ship that literally launched into orbit, went around Earth 3 times, and came back down, what could a bunch of raw, vegan, focused individuals with clean nervous systems, because they've cleansed their body temple and they're able to tap into greater levels of universal knowledge, what could they potentially do once they started using the real sources of energy, like solar power, hydrogen power from water, even from the air? We know that there are air-powered vehicles or air-powered things. But ultimately, I feel solar power is the way to go, because when you get into space, you've still got solar power from all the stars. So anything that's run from solar power could travel the universe. We could interact with our celestial brothers and sisters and gain wisdom from them. So as a species, we are capable of it, but only when we really stop the stupid biz-sin-ness game, the biz-sin-ness game. Sin meaning you miss the target, you miss the mark. So we have been doing this business, missing the mark, missing our true intelligence as a human species, missing our true health, mind, body, and spirit. And the extraterrestrials that clearly live out there, and we know they do not want to come near us. Just like if I said, hey, Steve, see those gangsters over there? Can you just go and see if you can ask them for $1 from me, because I want to catch the bus? You'd be like, Marcus, you out of your mind, dude? I'm not going over there. But like, dude, just go. Seriously, just go across the street. That'll be cool. Go ask those gangsters if you can borrow $1 from me. You'd be like, dude, you go over there. I'd be like, nah, I'm not going over there. Why would we not go over there, right? Because those gangsters, if they get irritated at you, they might just shoot you. Mm-hmm. So the same way, the extraterrestrials are looking at us from afar, thinking, man, we are very intelligent and we could help the species be better. Because we know how to live. We know how to live properly. They've been living raw vegan on solar-powered fuel and solar-powered vehicles for years. Why are they going to come and risk their lives trying to help a bunch of gangsters, which is basically what the political system has become? It's gangsters. You know, the mob moved in to all of the political systems of the world and started running things corrupt, shooting people, killing people. You know, keeping the population down, dull, stupid. And now the extraterrestrials that are good, there are lower extraterrestrials as well with dark agenda, but the good extraterrestrials cannot come near the gangsters. I mean, look, we're getting out there now. People are like, oh, man, what did he just go off on? You know, the whole extraterrestrial vibe. But when you sit meditating on a Hawaiian mountain, you start hearing messages. And it's not messages of craziness. Everything I'm saying makes total logical sense to the average person saying, I don't want to go around those thugs. You know, I don't want to go around those skinheads or those gangsters or those, you know, I don't even want to go around those dangerous-looking soldiers or those dangerous-looking hillbillies. But we don't realize that we, as a human species, from being first vampirial over our diet, then we become drugged up on alcohol and medications, are actually a dangerous race. We're a danger to Mother Earth, we're a danger to ourselves, and we are a danger to anything that we fear, because we choose to missile it or shoot it rather than see if that extraterrestrial has something to offer us with peace. Mm-hmm. We shoot first and ask questions later, and that's why we are kept back. We are retarded as a race. That's why I'm a bit of a recluse. I stay away from crowds now. I stay away from people who want to attack me, because they sometimes do want to attack me just for talking the truth like this, just for saying, hey, man, we have such a potential, you know. The universe is filled with such potential to explore, and we're shooting, like, we're not even shooting for the moon.
Well, Marcus Patrick, your message is phenomenal. You know, we appreciate your honesty and integrity, and that's really why I wanted to have you on the show. It's really much needed in the raw movement, and I don't think it's been reflected in some of the health debates that have been going on. So thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, man. I loved being on the show. I appreciate you. Let me know anything I can do to post it up everywhere. I got quite a lot on MySpace, Facebook, Twitter. I'll push this message out, because, you know, I appreciate you for doing a raw vegan show, because ultimately that is where humanity is going to get the message and maybe begin to have some form of salvation.
His website is organiclifeandfitness.com, and the book, The Raw Naked Truth, coming soon.
Yep.
Marcus? Yeah.
Yep.
So,
coming,
you know, stay posted for that. And the website has links to your YouTube?
Yes.
Okay, great.
YouTube, I believe so. My YouTube is just MarcusPatrick1974. I had one deleted. The Marcus1974 is deleted, but MarcusPatrick1974 is still there.
Well, down the road, we're definitely going to do some teleclasses with you, much like we did with Dr. Will Tuttle. I think you have a lot to teach, so we're looking forward to working with you. Thank you for joining us, Marcus.
Thanks, Steve.
Take care. Our thanks to Marcus Patrick for that phenomenal interview, and, well, it's an extended edition of Raw Vegan Radio. We usually don't go this long, but I really wanted to get this interview up with Brian Yontz. Inspiring story of survival and turning your life around with the power of raw foods. Let's have our interview with Brian Yontz. Well, we'd like to welcome Brian Yontz to Raw Vegan Radio. He's got an inspirational story to share with you all, and we thought it'd be great to have him on the show today. So, Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stephen. Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. So let's talk about your journey to raw. Now, you've got quite an inspirational story. You're new to the whole scene, and tell us where you were at just a little over a year ago.
Yes, well, actually, at this time last year, I was in pretty bad shape. I was very unhealthy. I was on heart medicines, blood. They wanted me to start taking blood pressure medicine. I kept fighting them on that, and I was 270 pounds and very unhealthy with my weight, and also I believe that the heart medicine was not helping my health at all. And I basically couldn't do much of anything without feeling like I was going to kill everyone with a heart attack. Every night when I went to bed, just getting ready for bed, would wear me out, and I would lay down to go to sleep, and couldn't hardly breathe, and my heart was slamming in my chest, and just, you know, hoping to get through another night to see a new day. And I decided that I had to do something about it, so I started looking into the different diets and stuff. I wanted to get rid of the weight. I figured that would help. And from there, I went online and I did some research and found all kinds of different diets and different pills and programs people are more than willing to sell to you. Mm-hmm. But then I come up with information on raw food. And the more I listened to people like Dan McDonald and things like that, then the more it made sense to me. It sounded good, sounded like the truth, and nobody was trying to sell me something. So that is what I decided to do. And on May 1st of last year, I went raw, and it's been a wonderful experience since that day.
We should mention, so here you were, 43 years old, overweight, really unhealthy, and you'd actually been in the emergency room a couple of times, and your heart had stopped?
Well, yes, I had been two different occasions. I was at the emergency room and thinking I was having a heart attack and a stroke, and on two different occasions, my heart was working so hard, beating so hard and so fast and out of control that they had to stop my heart. They had to flatline me and restart it in order to keep it from, you know, just exploding from overworking itself. It's a pretty scary thing when you're laying in the emergency room, people are running around you like crazy, and then they lean over to you and tell you, excuse me, Mr. Yance, but we're going to have to stop your heart in order to save your life. That's not something you want to hear, and I heard it twice. But yeah, I've since going raw, I've lost 115 pounds, and I started on May 1st of 2010. So it hasn't quite been a year yet, and my body detoxed from all the years of feeding the bad chemicals and everything that was stored in my fat. I got scared during the detox program because, you know, your body reacts. It's getting rid of all the poisons that you've been feeding it forever. And lymph node swelling, skin breaking out and things like that. But I had also talked to people who had sort of prepared me for that. So I just kept at it, worked through that, and continue to go, and then I've leveled off now. My weight is leveled off, right, about the 115. I fluctuate. I was 270, and I lost 115, and I stay right around that level now. It seems to be what's a good weight for my body. From a size 46 pants down to a size 32. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So what kind of diet were you following before this? I mean, were you standard American diet and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I was the standard American diet. I wasn't like one of those people who overeats. I wasn't eating highly, you know, things you think of when you think about somebody really unhealthy. You know, I wasn't having pork ribs every night or anything like that. I just eat hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff everybody else has. And I had no idea at the time, you know. Back then I thought, you know, I would cut down on this or get a frozen dinner that said healthy, you know, on it, on the package, and think that I was doing something. I didn't know any better. I'd been conditioned to what's on the television, as most people are, you know, they don't realize that just because the label says it's healthy yeah, it's not really healthy for you. And so I stopped eating everything processed. I went straight to fruits, vegetables, soap, nuts, and seeds, and that was it. And I lost about, you know, a pound a day, on average, and it just kept feeling better and better and more energy, and just the weight come off, and I could get around better, and different pains and aches going away, and it was an amazing, you can't describe it to somebody also. If everybody knew how good it felt, everybody would go raw. You know, I can't explain it to people who are not raw. They look, you know, some people look at you like you're crazy. You eat what? You know?
Well, the problem is it feels good, but then there's the detox. That can deter a lot of people, obviously, right?
Yes, exactly. I just spoke to a lady a couple of days ago who had started raw, and then she started going to the detox, and she went back. You know, she stopped doing it. And I told her, you know, you just got to work through that. You know, I gave her, you know, some tips, and I told her about a website to go to talk to other people who are going through that. And because if you have people that you can talk to and discuss it with, it'll help a lot. And told her just go back to stick with it, and you'll get through that, and then your life will never be the same.
So, you know, you were inspired by some videos you saw. Dan McDonald's got quite a few on YouTube. And what paradigm, were there books you were reading? What raw food diet were you, or guru or leader were you looking to when you were making the transition for inspiration, things like that?
Right. Well, I listened to a lot of different people. Dan McDonald was the number one. He just touched me. And I really credit him for saving my life, because I expected to die last year. I really did. I wasn't going to make it much longer living the way I was. And if it hadn't been for running across his videos and his motivation and inspiration, you know, I probably wouldn't be here. But I listened to a lot of different channels and people and websites and reading things and. I take a little bit from everybody. I know there's been a lot of discussion about, you know, what way is the best way and stuff that's been going on in the raw food community. And I just take what my body responds to and use that. I don't think that there's like one certain specific person or book that I would recommend. I would say get them all, read them all, listen to them all, and pull out what you need from each one. The body, you just need to alkalize your body, and you need to stop putting in all the bad stuff, the saturated fats and the preservatives and the pesticides and all that. They make such a dramatic problem in your body, and people, I just don't really think people get it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be just going through blindly with their blinders on, just, you know, eating whatever they can eat. And they complain. I have friends who, you know, they complain about, oh, I've got this problem with my stomach or my guts or that and everything. And you try to talk to them and tell them. Some people are just not ready to listen to it yet. But I'm trying to tell as many people as I can, and I have a YouTube channel, Raw Living Love, and I've talked to some people on there. People message me, people have friended me on Facebook, and I get messages more so on there from people. And I try to give advice and help others to change and to eat more healthy food, even if they don't go 100% raw. Just change. Stop putting so much bad stuff in. Replace some of it with some of the good stuff, some of the live food, and you're going to see a difference, and your lifestyle will improve. And I just every day is just better and better, and I can't I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in 5 years. I mean, I've lost the weight, and I'm off of the heart medicines, and I'll take the blood pressure medicine, and I can run now. You know, forget it. Before I run across the room, and I was I was about to fall over. You know, you just don't know, and it's hard to explain to somebody. But I want to do. I want to help other people to discover that the miracle cure for what ails you is free. and it's so easy. You don't have to buy a bunch of drugs, and you don't have to buy into all these diets. Just eat everything you want to eat. Just eat healthy stuff.
Well, now, you're getting the word out, and we know you're continuing your journey. You want to become a raw food warrior, which is fantastic. And so let's talk about your website and some events you've got coming up.
Okay. I do have a website. There's not a lot on it at this moment. It's www.rawlivinglove.com. And if people go there, there's two videos at this moment. I'm going to be revamping it within the next week. There'll be more information and more stuff on the video on the website. But right now there's a video that talks a little bit about my journey. And then below that is another video that details what I'm doing this year. I want to go to school to Dr. Robert Morris's class that he holds at the University of Sarasota in Florida. Mm-hmm. And to become certified as a natural detoxification specialist. And then after that, then I want to go to school over with Gideon and Jackie Graff. They have a 3-week intensive program on nutrition and certified to be raw chef. And so that's what I'm trying to accomplish this year. And that way I can learn the ins and outs of what I need to know. I know that it works because it worked for me in such a profound way. But I want to go and be trained and education on all of the specifics of the body's workings, and so that I can help people to my fullest ability, and people will take me seriously. Because right now, a lot of people just think, oh, you're just some fruitcake eating rabbit food, you know. But if I, you know, I want to be able to back up stuff with the facts of the nutrition. So, and then below that on the website is the ticker on the cost of everything, and I break it down in the video. I break down the cost of everything to do what I want to do this year, and then we decided to do a healthy living package giveaway. And right now, at this time, there's a few books in this giveaway that I'm going to be giving out on May 1st, on my year anniversary of being raw, also my birthday. One person will be picked and receive this package. Now, in the package right now is Dr. Gabriel Cousins' book, There's a Cure for Diabetes. And there's also a book, Healing the Gerson Way by Charlotte Gerson and Beta Bishop. And then Penny Shelton has donated her detox book, and she signed it. And John McCain has donated a book that he also signed called Some Food Diet Infusion. And these are books that will help people, you know, to get information on living a healthy raw food way. And also, there's a book, I'm going to toss in the Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, because that was a book that really shook me up during my detox phase.
That's great. Yeah, and it's not up on the site now, but when people look, they might see Raw Vegan Radio is going to donate a one-month membership into our soon-to-be-released virtual raw food starter kit, which contains hundreds of interviews with the gurus, as well as access to 21-day detox program with the videos and everything from Dr. D'Angelo and Dr. Wood, as well as transcripts and all kinds of things in this package. And we're going to include that in this Healthy Living package as well.
Wow, that's great, Stephen. I want to thank you for all that you do to promote, you know, healthy living and the raw food and you know, getting the word out on healthy body, mind, and spirit. And we appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Brian. It seems like you're on a great path, too. I can only see you growing in this raw food world, especially with what you have in mind here to get certified and just help spread the word. And your story is really inspirational. We look at the picture of your before and after. It's pretty unreal. I mean...
Yeah, there's a picture on there, too. Yes.
Yeah. So we commend you, and the website is rawlivinglove.com. You know, we invite you back on the show once you get through everything and you're ready to tell us about your progress. We can't wait to have you back. Now, we didn't ask, now, are you using any supplements or anything like that, or is it just strictly raw food in your diet?
No supplements at this time. Well, I take occasionally, I actually reason, probably would take it more, but I forget it's there all the time. But I have some spirulina tablets that I mix in, you know, once in a while. But no, it's just all fresh living food.
And they said it couldn't be done.
I'm here to prove them wrong.
All right, Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
Well, hope you guys enjoyed that. My thanks to Marcus Patrick and Brian Yontz for an extended edition of Raw Vegan Radio. It's great being with you, bringing this to you. And we've got lots more to come to empower you to be your own guru right here on Raw Vegan Radio.
Thank you for listening to Raw Vegan Radio with your host, Steve Prusak. Visit our website at www.rawveganradio.com for more information about natural living. Our website features suggested products to help guide you on your journey. Join us weekly for new and exciting programs, all free, right here on Raw Vegan Radio.